It's time for Pacers Weekly.
And we welcome you into a bit of a snowy Pacers Weekly here on 107.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. As always, we are live on the Circle in downtown Indianapolis. The Pacers pulling away late in the last couple of minutes against the Clippers last night. A 109-104 win against LAC. The Pacers pull off the Los Angeles sweep. They beat the Lakers earlier in the week on Monday night. And this win puts the Pacers right on the doorstep of a preseason goal that very few thought was possible. That's making the playoffs. Indiana, with 9 games remaining, has their magic number down to 1. They could clinch a playoff berth tonight with a Detroit Pistons loss. More on that in a moment. Bojan Bogdanović leading the way. He was terrific. 28 points on 12 of 18 shooting for Bogdanović. Double-doubles for Thaddeus Young and Darren Collison. Victor Oladipo on a night where he makes 4 shots. The Pacers beat a good team, and not just a good team. The Clippers 5 games over 500, but a team that's pretty desperate. That was pretty desperate. They were 2.5 games out of the playoff picture in the Western Conference. And with the teams they're trying to catch, Utah, Minnesota, San Antonio, those are teams that are likely not going to do a whole lot more of losing. So the Clippers probably realistically have to have a 9-11 finish, or a 9-2 finish over their final 11 to make the playoffs. That's a desperate team that was in Bankers Life Fieldhouse last night. And the Pacers took care of business 109-104. It puts Indiana at 42-31. If those 42 wins sound familiar, it's because that's how many they had all of last year. And as you have these landmark moments in the year after the Paul George trade, I think this is one of them. In the following year of the Paul George trade, with 9 games remaining left in the season, the Pacers have already hit their win total from a year ago. 42-31 is good for 5th position in the Eastern Conference. The Pacers are a game and a half ahead of 6th place Washington. They're tied with Philadelphia, but percentage points behind. That's because the 76ers have played 2 less games. So the 76ers are percentage points ahead of the Pacers heading into tonight. The Pacers would have the tiebreaker if they finished the season finish with Philadelphia. But 41-30 is technically a slightly better record than 42-31. But the Pacers are in 5th position, essentially right there at 4th. And they're a game and a half out of 3rd place. That's where the Cleveland Cavaliers sit. The Pacers are off tonight. As we mentioned, the Detroit Pistons are in action. And if the Pistons were to lose tonight, then the Pacers would wrap up a playoff berth. They would clinch playoff positioning with a Pistons loss tonight. Not overly likely. They host the Bulls. So if Indiana cannot get that loss from Detroit tonight, then their next opportunity, Sunday night. The Pacers host the Miami Heat, 5 o'clock, 4:30 on the Kroger pregame show right here. Pacers.com/tickets is how you can be there for the Pacers Heat game tomorrow night, as Indiana, in all likelihood, tries to wrap up a playoff berth on Sunday night, and you can catch it in person at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. If it's your first time joining us, we are here with you from 10 to 11 every Saturday morning on Pacers Weekly. We've got a great show coming up for you. You will hear from Pacers players. You'll hear from a couple broadcasters around the NBA. Mark Boyle, Chris Denary, Jeremiah Johnson, Mark Monteith, etc. will join us throughout the program as well. When we return, we'll start things off. Pacers play-by-play announcer Mark Boyle joins the show. He checks in next. This is Pacers Weekly.
Financing was always a concern.
We were a brand new couple out of college.
First bought a dog, which made us buy the house, of course.
Knew we were getting married, so correct, we wanted something to be able to move into right away. We ended up finding Forum Credit Union, and through Forum Credit Union, we got pre-approved.
Really liked working with Forum, the best to offer rate-wise.
Everything went so smoothly.
Forum Credit Union made it easy.
Forum Credit Union, your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender, NMLS number 469848.
Hi, Pacer fans. This is Victor Oladipo. You know Bankers Life from the name on our home court, Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Bankers Life is also part of the CNO Financial Group family of insurance brands. CNO Financial is based right here in Central Indiana. In fact, they are one of the 10 largest companies in the state, providing health and life insurance, as well as retirement solutions to middle-income Americans across Indiana and nationwide. Learn more about CNO Financial and its Central Indiana roots at CNOINC.com. That's CNOinc.com. And let's go, Pacers.
Through our local associates, Stanley Security, one of the world's leading global security providers, has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and service to the commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities. Stanley is a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and the official security products provider of the Indiana Pacers. Find out how Stanley Security can provide a solution for you at stanleysecurity.com.
Since 1993, the Pacers Foundation has been investing in agencies throughout Indiana that are working to create programming and opportunities for at-risk youth. From anti-bullying to providing safe havens for abused children, to day camps to mentoring programs, the Pacers Foundation strives to be part of the solution to the problems facing our Indiana children. You could help, too, by purchasing a Pacers Foundation license plate through the Indiana Bureau of Motor Vehicles. Go to pacersfoundation.org to learn more.
You're listening to Pacers Weekly on 107.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. Pacers and Miami Heat, the next home game. That is Sunday night. 5 o'clock tip, a little bit early. Makes it more convenient, though, if you've got things to do Monday morning. We'll begin right here at 4:30 if you can't join us at the Fieldhouse. But if you can, pacers.com/tickets. By the way, there are very few tickets remaining. So if you are interested in this game, I highly recommend visiting pacers.com/tickets now. Earlier in the week, the Pacers had successful try number two at playing at New Orleans. The first game was rained out back in February, if you can have a rain out in the NBA. It was. Pacers try number two was in New Orleans on Wednesday. They fell to the Pelicans, but while there, Pacers play-by-play announcer Mark Boyle had a chat with their TV play-by-play voice, Joel Myers. Mark?
Thank you, Pat. It wasn't all that long ago, Joel, that DeMarcus Cousins went down, and doom and gloom was the forecast for the Pelicans, but they've done more than hold their collective heads above water. They've actually, in certain circumstances, thrived. Why have they been so effective without Cousins?
Well, the team, it's kind of apples and oranges. With Cousins, you're a half-court team. And they were sixth in pace, but it was more half-court. And now, well, ever since he went down, they're number one in pace. They're third in pace overall. The second sometimes, third overall. The pace of the race is what Alvin Gentry loves. And we saw that when he was with the Clippers, when he was with Golden State, before he joined the Pels. He wants to get it up and down the floor. Don't look over your shoulder for a play call. Make the right decision and get the ball up and look for early offense. So pace is the biggest difference, Mark, more than anything else, because this team was built for pace. And then Boogie came along. And it's not to knock him, because they had taken 7 out of 8 with Boogie. And they were going to be a really difficult matchup for teams of the Western Conference if Boogie was healthy.
Do you think they still could be?
It's going to be difficult. They're getting better bench-wise. And that was one of the best games they've had recently. A couple of games ago, their bench produced 40-plus points, which we have not seen a lot of this year. But Ian Clark's getting more minutes. Shaq Diallo's getting more minutes. They're actually counting on guys a little bit more from the bench. So it's with that. Then the trust factor, I don't have to tell you, and the confidence they gain from their coach putting them on the floor 20-plus minutes a night, 25 minutes, it's starting to pay off.
This is far down the list in terms of interesting stories with the Pelicans, except maybe to a degree for our fans, because you have Solomon Hill, who blew out a hamstring before the season even started. He has come back and played a couple of games, getting back into the lineup, getting some minutes, getting his feet wet, working off the rust. How is Solomon fitting in with the Pelicans?
Well, last year was an interesting one for Solomon, his first year here. He's an undersized four is the way they're playing him. As you know, and you watched him come up, he's more of a three size-wise than a four. So it would fit perfectly in a pace team. If he can be on the floor regularly, he has not been a classic three-point threat. He's getting better with his three-point accuracy. But for the most part, they're taking it real slowly with Solomon. And they hope to have, over the last few games, him back up to speed to the point where he could play 20 minutes in the postseason. Right now, it's like maybe 8 to 12 minutes at the most. And in fact, as you and I both know, he's going to have rest. There's going to be days where he's not going to play, because they want to make sure they don't re-injure anything, get him up to speed, get game conditioning. But he could help in the playoffs. There's no question about that. And as you know, he can really help at the defensive end of the floor.
Let's move on to maybe one of the, well, not maybe, certainly one of the best players in the NBA, and Anthony Davis. Terrific to begin with. Cousins goes down. He puts up even more monstrous numbers. How would you characterize him in terms of where he ranks, Joel, among the elite in the NBA?
Oh, he's a top five player. I don't think there's any question about that. He is kind of void of position, and I think it's interesting, because when you think first-team All-NBA, well, you got to have two forwards, a center, two guards. I think now we're to the point where you have three guys on the baseline and two in the backcourt. So he is truly, when you look at a guy that's second in the league in scoring, sixth in boards, leads the league in blocks, and also is fifth in minutes played. A lot of people forget how much this team leans on him and the load that he carries in just his sixth year in the league. He has been taking on, ever since DeMarcus Cousins went down, he's taken on a great deal. And he's thrived in this role because he can get up and down the floor. So they're looking for him early, and especially Rajon Rondo. But I put him in the top five in the league. I got a kick out of it because somebody I know and I work with on their last year, he was first team All-NBA, and they didn't have him on any one of their three teams All-NBA. And I didn't question the person because he's been a rider in the league for a long time, but I look at him easily as a top five player. And now, with added pressure, he has responded. And with since the All-Star break, he's leading the NBA in scoring, by the way. And he's also up to 13 boards, 31 and 13 a game, at better than 50%. And people say, oh, yeah, he dunks the ball. Well, that's part of it on lobs from Rondo, but he also has elevated his game to the three-point line. He's got a beautiful fall-away shot. He's got a great crossover for a seven-footer. He is the complete package. So that's why when you asked me, I said top five right away. He's got the whole package.
In closing, let's look ahead to the playoffs without being too presumptive. If the Pelicans can make it, it seems likely they'll be somewhere between 5 and 8. What would the ideal matchup be? Against which team would they have the best chance, if not to advance, then at least make it an interesting, threatening series?
Well, anybody but Houston or Golden State.
So the same as everybody else.
Right, so to put it bluntly, there's no really good matchup in the West. Because then you have the speed. Say it's Oklahoma City. You're the 6 and they're the 3. And we can go down the list of guys. San Antonio. Say they're the 3 or 4 because they could still get home court in the first round. Now, it's a little bit better against San Antonio because there is a struggle for pace and tempo and what you want to do and what they want to do. And we've had very, very good games with San Antonio in recent years. Close games. Anthony Davis has really matched up well with LaMarcus Aldridge. One's an athlete. And LaMarcus is just a pro. He gets his drop step. He gets his fall away on the baseline. And so they're opposites. But it's fun to watch those opposites. Last game there, the Pels won. And it was a close game. And AD had a slew of blocks in that game as well. So there is no really good matchup. But anybody would tell you, beyond Houston, who goes to the free throw line more than anybody else, And that's the difference. They played. They have actually could have taken all three games. They won one, lost by 7, blew a big lead in the fourth quarter at Houston, and then most recently against Houston here, lost by a couple of points, lost by 3 points when a foul was called. Oh, by the way, it was Harden in the corner, and it got 3 free throws at the end of the game. So those two teams, you know how Golden State is. I don't have to tell you. They've got so much talent, so much depth. That's the one team you want to avoid. So you're not bludgeoned publicly.
Joel Myers, longtime television play-by-play voice of the New Orleans Pelicans, kind enough to stop by and share some of his observations on a team that really is one of the more interesting in the league. Cousins goes down, they're written off, and they have really hung in there, and now it seems have a good chance to make the playoffs. I'm Mark Boyle. Let's turn things back over to Pat Boylan.
Mark and Joel, thank you. When we return, we go around the house with Eddie White. We find out who Eddie White has tracked down. When we return, this is Pacers Weekly.
The performance of the Indiana Pacers on the court is hugely important, but so are the community outreach efforts of the Pacers and Indiana Fever off the court. Each year, the community relations teams of the Pacers and Fever oversee 50 programs focused on education, social responsibility, and health and wellness initiatives. In 2016-17, more than 500,000 Hoosiers of all ages were impacted by one of these programs. Pacers cares, Fever cares.
Jack's Donuts is sweetening up a Pacers win. The day after a Pacers victory, visit your local Jack's and mention the Pacers win to receive a free 12-ounce coffee or regular price donut. With more variety, more donuts, and more choices, Jack's is the place to celebrate a Pacers win. Visit www.jacksdonuts.com to find the Jack's Donuts location nearest you.
Hi, Pacers fans. This is Chris Denary. Did you know that Indiana has some of the hardest water in the country? To improve the quality of water in your home, do what I did. Choose a whole home water treatment system from Kinetico. Our glasses no longer have a chalky white film. Our sinks and tubs stay cleaner longer. And I know our drinking water is safe for the whole family, including my dogs Granger and Bailey. Visit ConnecticutIndy.com today to set up your free in-home water test. Connecticut, official sponsor of the Indiana Pacers.
Pacers fans, don't miss a game just because you're not in front of a TV. You can watch Pacers basketball anywhere with Fox Sports Go.
Stevenson scores and a foul.
Never miss a moment of the action. Launch the Fox Sports Go app on your phone or tablet. Sign in and stream the Pacers.
Here goes Oladipo.
Take every game, pregame, and postgame along for the ride no matter where you go. Watch Pacers basketball on Fox Sports Indiana. And when you're on the move, stream the Pacers anywhere with Fox Sports Go.
You're listening to Pacers Weekly on 107.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. We're live on the Circle in downtown Indianapolis. Pacers at 42-31. They're 11 games over. If you are considering catching them before the playoffs, which is a near certainty at this point, you only have three more chances. One of them is Sunday against Miami. After that, Thursday, April 5, that's against Golden State, as you might imagine, a tough ticket. And then Tuesday, April 10, Pacers versus Charlotte. So a lot of road games coming up as Indiana tries to hold on to their playoff positioning in the Eastern Conference. Let's hear now from Eddie White and who he's tracked down around the house, Eddie.
Thanks, Patrick. It is once again time to go around the house. And I'll tell you, there are many special days here at Bankers Life. I mean, it is the People's Building where the Pacers are here, the Fever are here, the concerts that we have going on, all the different shows. But there are 2 days that are special because the sport of basketball is special to the great state of Indiana. One is when we crown the girls' state champions with our great partners at the IHSAA, and the day that we crown the four boys' state champions, and that is today. And who better to talk about it than my good buddy, the great commissioner of the IHSAA, Commissioner Bobby Cox. Commissioner, welcome to Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and how are you today?
Thank you, Eddie. I'm really good. This is a great day for high school sports in our state. It's a great day for basketball in our state, and I'm looking forward to some great games.
The one thing is, every year, you and your people come in here with the great enthusiasm for the matchups. But let me get a little selfish here for a second. But great enthusiasm for the facility, the building, and the people you work with. You guys like coming here.
Well, it's a great facility, and we are indebted to the Pacers and the Fever for our partnership and the ability for us to bring our high school championships to Bankers Life. It's a very special building. It's a very special place for our kids to play. I think we take it for granted sometimes that the venues that we're allowed to play in for our state championships are as good as they get in the country. And so we are very happy to be here and very indebted to the Pacers and look forward to a great day.
Earlier in the week, you had the ADs and the coaches and administrators down here, and you gave them a tour of the building. And some of them have been here before. Some of them, it's their first time. I think they all walked out giving a thumbs up to and excited about today.
Well, they do. When we came in on Monday, they had the NBA set up for the Pacer game that night. And so what happens is they have a little Hoosiers moment. They walk into this arena, and it's a little different than their gym at home. And they look around, and they look all the way up to those rafters, and they look at those banners hanging, and it does take, and these are the adults. They've got to get themselves under control before they bring their kids in here on Saturday and look at this and say, okay, what's going to happen?
You know, when people are following March Madness and the NCAA tournament, and you see all these different upsets and stuff like that, and then you still have great games the next week. You had a wonderful tournament. There have been some phenomenal games, some phenomenal environments all over the state, north to south, east to west, and now we're down to the final eight, and wow, great matchups from start to finish, starting at 10:30 in the morning, right? We're going all night. What do you think of these matchups? Let's go over them.
Well, I think the matchups are really good. You got Morristown and Southwood, two teams that virtually have never been here. Morristown was in our very first tournament in 1911 when we brought 12 schools to the championship. They haven't been here since. Southwood's never been here. An interesting story about Southwood is that 2 years ago they voted to close the school. Now they're in the state championship. So that vote might take a little different look now moving forward.
Was Bob Lovell doing the color of that first game?
I think he was. So then Forest Park and Oak Hill in the second game, and there's two teams that really battled well all through the tournament. Great crowd followings and a really even matchup. I think it'll be a fun game to watch. Get into the evening session, and you got Evansville Bossy playing against Culver Academies, and two styles of play that are a little different. Bossy really likes to run it up and down the floor. Culver can get up and down the floor, but they like to lock you down. So it's going to be an interesting battle. Two great coaches. And then finally get to the 4A game, a mixed matchup between Warren and Carmel, a rematch from the regular season where Warren won on a last-second shot. Carmel has really improved throughout the tournament. Warren has won some great games, including the semi-state game on a last-second shot by the Bell kid. And so I think it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out all the way to the final buzzer.
You know, I listen to you, and I get the enthusiasm in your voice. The matchups are so compelling and interesting. I know that last one, people might have had hope for New Albany and Romeo Langford and the undefeated team from South Bend, but it didn't happen. And just like the NCAA tournament, okay, Michigan State's not there, but you still got great matchups. This matchup, the last game of the day, is going to be like a heavyweight fight. I mean, this is going to be like Ollie and Liston. I mean, this is going to be unbelievable. Two greats, and you got an undefeated team trying to finish an undefeated season, and then you got a team with a first-year coach but has a culture up there. I mean, holy smokes. I mean, I think we're going to have great crowds on today. It's going to be unbelievable.
I think we'll have a great crowd all day long, and I think that you're exactly right, Eddie. It's a David and Goliath battle in some cases, and then you got two Goliaths fighting each other. And these teams know each other very well, and they will play hard, and they're coached, very well coached, on both sides of the court, and I think it'll be a really good matchup, and that's why we throw it up. Just like you mentioned, the NCAA tournament, there's so much more parity today than there used to be. More teams, even at our level, at the high school level, more teams rising to the top. Four teams, if you count Morristown as a first-year team, four of the eight have never been here before. That shows you that there are more teams out there that are getting better and getting to a place where they can play for a championship. And so it's good for the sport of basketball. It's good for our state, and we're happy to be here.
Do you have a hangover after this? I mean, is there a bit of sadness because you look forward to a season when it starts, and then it cultivates right in front of you. It grows like a beautiful plant, and you see this great season, great postseason, and then it culminates in four great championship games, and then it's over. And now we got to wait till next year.
Well, yeah, there's a little bit of sadness, but in our office, there's a little bit of relief as well. It's a long stretch from the third week of January all the way through the boys' basketball championships, and we have something every weekend. And I tell you, from my perspective, it's the beginning of a great 10 days because we have our championships, and then a lot of folks, including me, I go on spring break. And then I get to watch the NCAA tournament. And then right after that's the Masters. I can't think of a better two-week period than the high school championships, NCAA finals, and the Masters. It's a great time for us personally as a family, and I think it's a wonderful way to wrap up the winter season.
Let's make it a grand slam. The fourth thing there would be a Pacers playoff run.
I would love to see the Pacers get there, and they're playing so well right now. It's a lot of fun to watch them, and they've got a lot of energy, too, and I think they're gonna be a tough out in that tournament.
I think so. My friend, it's always good to see you. It's always good to welcome you guys here. We have a lot of partners, and I'll tell you, the IHSA does it better than anybody, and these are going to be fun games today. I can't wait.
Thanks, Eddie. Appreciate it.
He's the best. He's the commissioner. Patrick, back to you, my friend.
All right, Eddie and Bobby, thank you. When we return, we will hear from Pacers guard Victor Oladipo out of the locker room last night off the Pacers 109-104 win against the Clippers. Oladipo speaks next on Pacers Weekly.
Hi, Pacers fans. This is Glenn Robinson III. You know Bankers Life from the name on our home court, Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Bankers Life is also part of the CNO Financial Group family of insurance brands. And for every three-pointer we make this year, CNO Financial will donate $50 to the Pacers Foundation. Over the past 18 years, CNO Financial has donated more than $275,000 to the Pacers Foundation to help support young people in Indiana. Learn more at pacersfoundation.org or visit CNOINC, that's CNOinc.com, and let's go Pacers.
Through its local associates, Stanley Security Solutions has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and services to some of the largest commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities in the world. With involvement in local community charities such as Habitat for Humanity and United Way, we are additionally honored to be a sponsor of the Pacers Call a Pacer Reading Program. Our more than 7,500 dedicated employees are proud to support the Indianapolis corporate community as a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and your Indiana Pacers.
Hey Pacers fans, check out this great offer from Papa John's. The day after the Pacers score 90 or more points, you score 50% off regular menu price online orders at papajohns.com with promo code PACERS90. Only from Papa John's, official partner of the Indiana Pacers.
Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
Valid online only on regular menu priced items at participating locations for a limited time.
Not valid with any other coupons or discount.
Limited delivery area.
Delivery fee may apply and is not subject to discount offer.
Taxes extra.
Pacers fans, check out the new Pacers team store located inside Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Get all the best Pacers gear plus the best brands, including Nike, 47, New Era, and Under Armour. Also, make sure to look for the game night specials during all Pacers home and away games to steal a great deal. Can't make it to the store? Grab all the gear at thepacersteamstore.com. The Pacers Team Store, the place for all your Pacers needs.
We're about halfway through Pacers Weekly here on Saturday morning. I'm Pat Boylan. We're live on the Circle in downtown Indianapolis. We would love for you to be a part of this show as well. I'm at Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter if you prefer the old-fashioned telephone variety. 317-239-1070, the number to call in. Talk Pacers basketball with us. We'll be here from 10 to 11. If you miss any of the show, by the way, you can very easily catch the podcast version. If you are a SoundCloud user, you just have to search Pacers Sound. That is the account on which all Pacers podcasts get posted to. Or just search Pacers Sound on your favorite podcast app. The Sideline Guys podcast gets posted there weekly as well. Jeremiah Johnson and me, a weekly podcast. Jeremiah Johnson will join us a little bit later in this show as well. It was not Victor Oladipo's best night last night, but maybe a testament to how the Pacers have matured throughout this season. 4 of 16 from the field for Oladipo, and yet the Pacers get a needed win against the Clippers. Here was Oladipo after the game in the locker room.
Victor, you were just talking a moment ago to other media about becoming the guy and the maturation process that comes with that. Tonight, you had an assist, a key play when they double-teamed you and you guys got a bucket. How have you seen yourself evolve in that role and maybe specifically how it played out tonight?
Getting better. Drilling it, watching film. I mean, guys sending two at me, guys trapping me on the ball, guys switching. There's a whole lot of different things that I've been seeing and will see for the rest of my career, so just got to prepare myself for anything and continue to keep locking in and getting better at my game so that no matter what they do, it doesn't matter. You know, I have an answer for it, so just got to keep going and getting better.
Guys, now 18-2 against teams out of the playoff picture at home. You've taken care of business here all season long. As the leader or one of the leaders, you take pride in that?
I take pride in every win. So it was a great win for us, and we got to get ready for Sunday. It's going to be a tough matchup, and we got to be ready. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity and the challenge.
You guys made the plays down the stretch here tonight versus maybe that didn't happen on Wednesday. What did you see as the difference in the last couple minutes?
I think we got the necessary stops we needed, 3 stops in a row towards the end. GC made big shots. Thad made a big, I think, offensive rebound layup. And Niles were big stops, and the whole team just were big stops down the stretch. So I think that's the biggest thing. Obviously, we want to get a great look and a great shot, but I think the biggest thing is we need to get stops when we need it, and that's what we did tonight.
I know you guys have bigger goals than making the playoffs. Your magic number is now at 1. Making the playoffs is a goal. Do you consider that fact that you're right there?
Yeah, I mean, that's great. You know what I mean? Just got to continue to take it one game at a time and keep going. Getting ready mentally and physically for the playoffs. And it's not going to be an easy task to finish out these 9 games, but we got to come to a mentality that we're going to attack and every game and take it one game at a time. And if we do that, then we'll take care of business.
All right, that was Victor Oladipo. After the game, the Pacers 109-104 win over the Clippers. Indiana is in 5th position in the Eastern Conference. You might wonder, they're 12 games back, as is Philadelphia, and the Pacers have the tiebreaker over Philadelphia. So why is Philadelphia ahead in the standings? Well, Philadelphia's played 2 less games, so technically 41-30 is a slightly better winning percentage than 42-31. However, if the Pacers finish the season tied with the 76ers, they do have that tie break, which they locked up with a win out in Philadelphia a couple of weeks ago. 42-31, the Pacers' record. They're 11 games over 500 with 9 games left to play. They still got a Western Conference swing in there. By the way, you can follow the Pacers with all of the latest information with the official Pacers app. There's live stats, videos, stories, podcasts, a whole lot more that are sent to that app. And you can download it in the App Store or at pacers.com/app. One of the functions available if you're still heading to Bankers Life Fieldhouse before the season is over. A couple of clicks inside the app and you can very easily upgrade your seats on game night. Pacers.com/app or search the Pacers app in the App Store. More Pacers Weekly coming up in just a moment. We'll talk to you after the break.
Financing was always a concern.
We were a brand new couple out of college.
First bought a dog, which made us buy the house, of course.
Knew we were getting married, so correct, we wanted something to be able to move into right away. We ended up finding Forum Credit Union, and through Forum Credit Union, we got pre-approved.
Really liked working with Forum. The best to offer, rate-wise.
Everything went so smoothly.
Forum Credit Union made it easy.
Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
Steak and Shake now has 24 meals for under $4. So after the game, you can feast on an original double and cheese steak burger meal, a triple steak burger meal, a chicken fingers meal, a chili cheese footlong meal, or any of the other 20 meals served with our famous thin and crispy fries, each under $4. Of course, you could also go to Steak and Shake before the game or during the game. There doesn't even have to be a game. You could go anytime. You could literally go right now. You're gone, aren't you? Hello? Get 24 meals for under $4, only at Steak and Shake.
Jack's Donuts, a family business and locally owned, is a proud partner of your Indiana Pacers. With 13 Central Indiana locations and 60 varieties of donuts, Jack's Donuts is a fan favorite. More variety, more donuts, more choices. Come see us. Jack's Donuts, since 1961, with 13 Central Indiana locations and over 60 varieties of donuts baked fresh every day. Learn more at jacksdonuts.com.
Since 1993, the Pacers Foundation has been investing in agencies throughout Indiana that are working to create programming and opportunities for at-risk youth. From anti-bullying to providing safe havens for abused children, to day camps to mentoring programs, the Pacers Foundation strives to be part of the solution to the problems facing our Indiana children. You can help, too, by purchasing a Pacers Foundation license plate through the Indiana Bureau of Motor Vehicles. Go to pacersfoundation.org to learn more.
Pacers Weekly continues on 107.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. Coming up in just a few moments, Mark Monteith and Jeremiah Johnson will join us live. So if you have any questions for either of those two or both, I'm at Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter. We will forward them over. On Monday, this previous Monday, the Lakers visited. The Pacers won. Mark Boyle had a conversation with John Ireland. He's the radio voice of the Los Angeles Lakers. Let's hear it now.
Thank you, Pat. The Lakers are out west, so we see them only rarely, but they are a marquee team, so they're all over ESPN. They're all over the news for reasons not always related to basketball. So in one sentence or one paragraph, John Ireland, capsulize this season from the standpoint of drama, intrigue, etc. It's got to be one of the more interesting seasons in Los Angeles.
Well, we have a saying, Mark, that nobody does drama like the Lakers. They even when we're bad, and this year we're not a good team, we're not going to make the playoffs, we've been full of storylines. And the strangest one is, you know, we treat cap space on our team like it's almost a player. Our GM has described it as sacred. It's a narrative in our locker room every game. The guys that we have are worried about the guys that we don't have yet. So, a lot will hinge on what happens in the offseason. But having said that, this team's better than I thought it would be. We won 26 games last year. We're probably going to win around 35 this year. And if we're lucky, maybe a couple more. So the young guys have played a little better than I thought they would.
That cap space is an invaluable asset, and there's been plenty of speculation on what Los Angeles might try to do with it. Care to share any insight you have?
Well, we put all our cards on the table with your audience, and of course people in Indiana know Paul George well. That's a name that's been rumored to be coming to the Lakers for 3 years. Of course, it didn't happen when he was traded from here to Oklahoma City, and Paul has an option, and I think if he hits the open market, the Lakers have a chance. He's from Palmdale, and as you know, Mark, his family's still out there, and he would be in the running. And then the other one is LeBron. I've always believed that LeBron's probably not coming, because why would you want to come to a team that would still have to leapfrog the Warriors and the Rockets even if you were on it? But having said that, there, you know, if he does come, I'm an idiot, because he's left tons of breadcrumbs. He's bought houses and looked at schools and made movies and has TV shows. So he certainly has an L.A. presence. But it's no secret we're going to go after those two guys. And whether we get them is, of course, a completely different story.
That's for the future. For the present, much attention has been lavished on Lonzo Ball's dad, LeVar. Internally, is that any kind of an issue, any kind of a problem?
It was briefly when he kind of went for the legs of Luke Walton. When that went viral, I think it became awkward, and I think even LeVar was embarrassed. But as I shared with you when you were out in California, the easy thing to do if you follow our team from afar is to assume that Lonzo is a chip off the old block and he has that swagger and that he's a big mouth, and he's not. Lonzo doesn't talk. He might be the worst interview on our team. And the other thing he loves to do is just ball. He just loves to play. He's hit a little bit of a rookie wall. He found his shot midseason. He seemed to have lost a little bit again. But he's better when we're out there, Mark. He's going to have a line when he's done. Very similar to a triple-double. He'll probably finish by the end of the year of averaging 11 or 12 points a game, 7 or 8 rebounds a game, 7 or 8 assists a game, which is really good for a 19, 20-year-old kid. So the common perception on Lonzo is that he's obnoxious like his dad, and he's not. His dad kind of is like Don King, the boxing promoter, and Lonzo is more like Sugar Ray Leonard, kind of quiet.
You mentioned that incident from a while back with Luke Walton. What about the time when he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, you take all three of my kids or you don't get any of them? Did anybody take that seriously?
No. I think LeVar did. But, again, I think Don King is an excellent comp for him. LeVar throws stuff out into the ether, and he sees what sticks, whether it be $500 shoes that he created, or my kids are going to dominate Europe in basketball, or you take all three or you don't get any of them. What you hear Luke say and what you hear Magic and Rob say a lot is, we're trying very hard, and I think they do a good job of this, of not holding the son responsible for the sins of the father. So they let LeVar be LeVar, and they focus to make sure that Lonzo is staying in his lane, to use one of his dad's phrases. And Lonzo's done a good job of that.
Let's close with this. We know with absolute certainty, John, that this is going to be a very interesting active summer for the Lakers. What we don't know is whether Irvin Johnson and Rob Pelinka are up to managing that situation, because neither one of them has been the authority decision-making figure right before. Is there any concern that they don't have the necessary experience?
I would have said, Mark, had you asked me that 6 months ago, maybe a little, but then we watched them draft. And they had, by all accounts, one of the best drafts the Lakers have ever had. Lonzo, I think, was a gimme. There was the second pick in the draft, and they took him. But Kyle Kuzma might be the steal of the draft, and they got him with the 27th pick. Josh Hart, who they took with the 30th pick, has been excellent. He has a broken hand, so you're not seeing him play these days. But Hart is going to be an NBA rotation player for a long time. And your fans know the name Thomas Bryant, who played at Indiana for a little while and has been very good for a young player on our G League. So they've shown an aptitude to find players. And Rob, when he was an agent, was kind of a shark. He represented Kobe and a lot of other great players. So I would say public sentiment is with them. Of course, let's see how they do it. But I would say confidence is high, to answer your question.
John Ireland is the play-by-play voice on radio for the Los Angeles Lakers, kind enough to break down one of the more interesting teams in the association, both on and off the court. The Pacers finished their season series with the Lakers earlier this week. Tomorrow, home against Miami, and then a road trip begins in Oakland on Tuesday. I'm Mark Boyle. Let's go back to Pat Boylan.
Mark and John, thank you. The Pacers, we told you a little bit earlier in the show, can clinch a playoff berth tonight. That happens if the Pistons lose at home to Chicago. Not an overly likely scenario. So if it does not happen, the next opportunity for the Pacers is Sunday. Mark was talking about that game against the Miami Heat. 5 o'clock tip. Pacers.com/tickets is how you can be there. Realistically, that's probably the Pacers' next best chance to clinch playoff positioning, or to clinch a playoff berth, I should say. They're far away from clinching the specific position that they will be in. It is extremely tight in the Eastern Conference. That's also true for the Pacers' G League affiliate, the Fort Wayne Mad Ants, who clinched a playoff berth earlier this week. They're 29-20. They have the second best record in the Eastern Conference. They will be in the G League playoffs for sure, winners of three in a row, just one game remaining in their regular season. and that is tonight. The Mad Ants are in Erie, Pennsylvania to take on the Erie BayHawks, and that game is available on Facebook Live. You just have to follow the Mad Ants on Facebook, and you can watch that game for free on Facebook Live as the Mad Ants look to close out their season a successful 30-20. They already know the playoffs are coming up in their direction. We close out the show, as always, with a couple of live guests. Jeremiah Johnson in a bit. Mark Monteith joins us next. This is Pacers Weekly.
Through our local associates, Stanley Security, one of the world's leading global security providers, has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and service to the commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities. Stanley is a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and the official security products provider of the Indiana Pacers. Find out how Stanley Security can provide a solution for you at stanleysecurity.com.
Hi, Pacer fans. This is Victor Oladipo. You know Bankers Life from the name on our home court, Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Bankers Life is also part of the CNO Financial Group family of insurance brands. CNO Financial is based right here in Central Indiana. In fact, they are one of the 10 largest companies in the state, providing health and life insurance, as well as retirement solutions to middle-income Americans across Indiana and nationwide. Learn more about CNO Financial and its Central Indiana roots at cnoinc.com. That's cnoinc.com. And let's go, Pacers.
Pacers fans, don't miss a game just because you're not in front of a TV. You can watch Pacers basketball anywhere with Fox Sports Go.
Stevenson scores and a foul.
Never miss a moment of the action. Launch the Fox Sports Go app on your phone or tablet. Sign in and stream the Pacers.
Here goes Oladipo.
Take every game, pregame, and postgame along for the ride no matter where you go. Watch Pacers basketball on Fox Sports Indiana. And when you're on the move, stream the Pacers anywhere with Fox Sports Go.
At St. Vincent, we know getting care for your everyday life means you need more than an everyday doctor. You need one that listens. And that's just what Ascension Doctors at St. Vincent do. Listening to you helps us see your whole picture. And with doctors who take the time to understand you, getting the care you need has never been easier. Find compassionate, personalized, and convenient care that is right for you at GetSt.VincentCare.com.
Pacers Weekly continues on 107.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan with us now. Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith, you wrote last night, Mark, the Pacers finished with their starters, something that Nate McMillan doesn't always do, close the game with the same starting five he opens, and maybe on the way finding a little closing chemistry. Can you explain?
Yeah, you know, I thought they finished the game really well. Nate doesn't finish with the starters. You know, I don't know the numbers on it, but it seems like more often than not, he doesn't. Corey Joseph is often out there when he's coming off the bench for a defensive matchup. Lance Stevenson, if he's rolling well, will often finish the game. But last night, with about 5.5 minutes to go, Nate went back to the starters. And it was really more about matchups. He, you know, he thought he could put Oladipo on Lou Williams, who was having a great game, and so on and so forth. It wasn't really as much about, hey, let's put the starters back together. That was just what he thought gave him the best matchups for who the Clippers were playing. But the group finished really well. They hit six of their final 10 shots. They made defensive plays. The previous group, which had been out there for defense, had given up scores on like five consecutive possessions. So, you know, what do you got to lose? You might as well put your starters back out there. And it really paid off. And everybody made a real meaningful contribution, really. I mean, Bogdanovich hit a couple shots, and Oladipo hit a three and some free throws and had a key deflection, and Collison hit a couple big shots, and, you know, Thad Young had a rebound of an air ball and a putback that was a big shot. So they closed the game really well, and it kind of summarized the chemistry that they've had all season and their ability really to play well down the stretch of a close game.
Mark Monteith is with us. Bojan Bogdanovic has been up and down throughout the course of the season. He had been struggling a little bit coming into this game last night. 12 of 18 from the floor, 28 points for Bogdanovic. That was a game-high 28, by the way. How do the Pacers look different to you when his shot is falling?
Well, they get points a lot easier. You know, the Pacers don't hit a lot of three-pointers, and if he can hit a few, as he did last night, that certainly makes things easier. And it opens up the floor. You know, teams have to respect his three-point shot. Even if he's not hitting it, teams will generally guard him out there, and that opens up the lane for people like Oladipo and Collison and other guards But it just makes the offense come a lot easier. You know, last night he had 12 out of 18 shots. I was really impressed last night, more so than his three-pointers, with his willingness and ability to get inside and hit some mid-range shots. You know, he went off the three-point line a couple times when it looked like he had a shot and hit a mid-range shot. He had two of them in the closing minutes last night, one from, I don't know, 8 to 10 feet, another from about 18 feet. And those were big shots. So he went to the basket better. He just looked to me like he was a little more confident and assertive. And I asked people about it afterward, you know, what it was that allowed him to play better. And the indication was that he was just hitting shots, you know, and that in turn gave him confidence and helped. I think really what he did last night, probably better than anything, though, Pat, was rebound. He had 5 rebounds. You know, he'd had a game here a week or so ago where he played 31 minutes and didn't get a single rebound, which seems like it would be hard to do. But last night, Nate McMillan had talked to him about don't leak out, go get a rebound, and he had 5 of them. And he had one big offensive rebound at the end of the first half that he converted into a three-point play. So really, that as much as anything, I thought his 5 rebounds was a key stat.
Bigger picture perspective question. I know preseason you were higher on the Pacers than I think most people were. But with that said, they're now 42-31, and that's a bit of a milestone in a way because 42 was the win total last year. The Pacers get there with 9 games left to go. As you look at what we've seen now through 73, what are your takeaways? You know, we've talked a whole lot about the season after the Paul George trade and all of that, and maybe a little bit too much, but to be at this point with 9 games left to go, there are bigger goals, I think, for this team and more impressive things that they can accomplish. But this almost seems a little bit like a milestone, and maybe if they can get to 43 on Sunday, also one considering they're now guaranteed at worst, and in all likelihood they're going to finish well better than last year's record.
Yeah, you know, 42 wins was my preseason prediction, so I'm going to sell them short like everybody else did, just by not as much. But, you know, 42 is a pretty good number. That guarantees a winning record. The worst they could be now is 42-40. And I really don't think they're going to lose every single one of their remaining games. And 42 will get you into the playoffs. So I think it is kind of a marker of sorts. So, you know, it's been, you know, as much as any season I can recall, it's been a regular season that surpassed expectations more than any. They had a great playoff run in Larry Brown's first season when they went to the conference finals practically out of the blue. I mean, they had never won an NBA playoff series before when they got to the conference finals. And but this regular season, I think, has surpassed expectations like no other. And it's pretty refreshing and unusual to have a season where everybody's just so happy with the team, even when they lose. You know, so they've earned that. And I think the really encouraging thing is it's not like these guys have peaked or they're playing a little bit over their heads. They certainly have room to improve. And if they get a healthy roster in the playoffs with Sabonis, they could obviously be better than what they are right now. So it's still a new team. They're still learning to play with one another. They have young guys who are still in very much an improvement phase of their career. So there's improvement ahead. And then if you want to go beyond this season, there's going to be opportunities to improve the roster in the offseason. So right now, as you and I are speaking, there's very many reasons to be encouraged about this team.
Let's close here looking at Pacers.com, where fans can catch a lot of your work. The Pacers only have 3 home games left, so not a lot of game coverage remaining, at least from an in-person perspective. So what do the fans have to look forward to on your end?
Well, I'll have a story going up today. I wrote it last night. Slick Leonard should be back tomorrow. He may be back. At least there's a very good chance. I talked to him yesterday, and he is hoping to come back for tomorrow's game against Miami. It'll be his first game since he fractured that hip back in early January. So that alone, I think, makes it a momentous game. If he doesn't come back Sunday, he certainly will be back, I think, after that road trip. You know, he's doing better. He needs a walker to get around. But he sounded good when I talked with him yesterday. And his wife, Nancy, who knows all when it comes to Slick, thinks that he will make the return. So it'll be great to see Slick back at the field house. And I know for all the fans listening on the radio, it'll be really good to hear his voice again.
When that happens, it'll be on 1070 The Fan, 107.5 FM, as well as across the Pacers Bankers Life radio network. That's Pacers.com writer Mark Monti. Thanks for your time here this morning, Mark.
Okay. Thank you, Pat.
Mark Monteith live. We close out the show with Jeremiah Johnson live. Pacers TV host and sideline reporter joins us when we return. This is Pacers Weekly.
Financing was always a concern.
We were a brand new couple out of college.
First bought a dog, which made us buy the house, of course.
Knew we were getting married, so correct. We wanted something to be able to move into right away. We ended up finding Forum Credit Union, and through Forum Credit Union, we got pre-approved.
Really liked working with Forum, the best to offer rate-wise.
Everything went so smoothly.
Forum Credit Union made it easy.
Forum Credit Union, your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
I love helping people get what they need. So when you order with ClickList from Kroger, I make sure you get everything you ask for, picked fresh and just the way you like it. Whole organic milk? Done. Two ripe bananas, one green, and today's fresh bread? Got it. With ClickList, I'm your personal shopper, so you can trust me to pick out the best produce, meats, and groceries, fresh, bagged, and ready when you arrive.
Order online, pick up curbside at store. Now featuring same-day pickup. Visit Kroger.com/ClickList.
Get the best seats at the best pricing for the greatest spectacle in racing. Tickets for the 2018 Indianapolis 500 presented by Pengrade Motor Oil and all of May's epic events at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway are on sale now. Be there for IndyCars crossing the bricks at over 230 miles per hour. The base dropping over the snake pit presented by Coors Light. And save a vacation day to rock out on Miller Lite Carb Day. Get your tickets now and save at Indy500.com. Is it May yet?
Pacers fans, check out the new Pacers team store located inside Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Get all the best Pacers gear, plus the best brands, including Nike, 47, New Era, and Under Armour. Also, make sure to look for the game night specials during all Pacers home and away games to steal a great deal. Can't make it to the store? Grab all the gear at thepacersteamstore.com. The Pacers team store, the place for all your Pacers needs.
Jeremiah Johnson joins us now as we close out Pacers Weekly here on 107.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. Let's go to Bojan Bogdanović. You had him for your walk-off interview, and of course he had a big game last night, and the Pacers certainly are a much better team when he plays like that. That said, just watching these interviews and fans, you can watch this by going to @FSIndiana on Twitter. It's been interesting, if nothing else, to watch the progression of the Bojan Bogdanović interview over the season.
Good point. I think early in the season, he was someone that, maybe probably shied away from the interview opportunity as much as anyone on the team. And I've not gotten that sense from him at all. He's still not going to be the longest winded interview. He's no Thaddeus Young, but he usually gives you good material, and you got to fight through the accent just a little bit, but, I think this is probably the third or fourth different time this year where maybe he's come off a stretch of, a couple of weeks where he wasn't playing as well as he would like, and he's had a big game like this. And so he was, you could just tell, he was relieved, much like he was the game immediately after he made that bad pass against Boston. And then in late January, we had another one of those. And you could just sense from that interview the confidence he'll take forward. And each of those times, he went on a nice little run of playing well. And so I think that does bode well for the next couple of weeks.
A stat that came, I believe, from the Hyatt Statistical Services. The Pacers are now 18-2 against teams not in the playoffs at home. You'd like to win a lot of those games regardless, but that really stands out to me in terms of how the Pacers have gotten to where they are, 11 games over 500, that they have taken care of business so well at home. What have you seen, I guess, in that regard?
Well, I think that's one of the things we noticed that in the middle of the season, the Pacers had really taken care of business as long as Victor Oladipo was playing. And I think the best progression that we've seen is that they've been able to win some of these games and take care of business, even when Victor is not playing well. I heard you earlier in the show reference that. And, I think that's the case. And I don't even consider last night one of those take care of business games, because I think the Clippers, if they were in the Eastern Conference, maybe they'd be, the 7 or the 8 seed. And the way they've been playing now, they'd lost, I think, 4 in a row before winning a game at Milwaukee, but they were a team fighting for a playoff spot. So I don't even consider them like the Dallases or the Phoenixes of the world. I think that was an impressive win. But by and large, I do think this team, every team is going to have a few games you wish you could have back. I mean, that's just the course of the nature of an 82 game season, but there have been less of those, I think, with the Pacers than most recent seasons.
I'll get to Miami, which is the Pacers' next game, here in just a moment. I want to look a little bit further because Indiana still has a 4-game Western Conference road stretch coming up. It's Golden State, Sacramento, Clippers and Denver Nuggets. Clippers and Nuggets are two teams that at that point might be in literal desperation mode. On the other side, we know what Golden State is. They've been hampered by injury. Still maybe a little bit too early to look at that four-game road stretch, but it'll likely be important in terms of Pacers seeding. What's your outlook on it right now?
I almost look at the final nine, not just that four-game stretch. And I was even thinking before last night's game, if you had 41 wins, if you go 5-5 over that stretch, which is not, you know, extremely difficult or outlandish, then you'd have 46. And I think if you got to 46, then, you know, I think you could be confident you'd be at least a six. And personally, I think you just want to be avoiding the 7-8 right now. So now that you have that win, then maybe you say you win 5 of the next 9. And of that four-game road trip, I think everyone goes into it saying, on a four-game Western Conference trip, you win 2, you lose 2, you're going to be okay. And you try for 3. And I think that's pretty much a good outlook to have. Denver at times has been a tough matchup over the years. And as you said, they'll be desperate. So if you, just like everyone would assume, you'd lose to Golden State and beat Sacramento and win one of the next two. But we've seen trips that don't go according to plan. So I think 2-2 would be just fine. 3-1 would be great. And then you'd try to finish strong after that.
Jeremiah Johnson is with us. Let's look at Miami in the pregame show, which will begin at 4:30 on Fox Sports Indiana. It largely probably depends, the content there, on whether Indiana has clinched or not. The Pacers will clinch if the Detroit Pistons lose at home to Chicago tonight. Not overly likely, but possible. So clinch talk could be a lot of the discussion, I would guess, either way, whether the Pacers have it or whether they don't have it yet.
Yeah, I think this will, you know, it's nice to have an opportunity with still 9 games remaining to solidify that playoff spot. And that's something that hasn't happened in recent years. And you think about even the last 3 years, it's gone down to the last week. And one of those, the Pacers did not make it. And I think just last year, they officially clinched that spot on the final day of the regular season. So this will be something to savor. And I do think, unlike baseball, you don't have champagne celebrations in the locker room when you clinch a playoff spot. So you don't have to worry about having your goggles. But I'm thinking if the Pacers can have that, get a win, and whether it happens because of a Pistons loss or from your own win, I think it'll be something that you should talk about and really take a moment to reflect on after the game and as well as before the game, because this is a playoff spot was not a given when this season started. And so I think we will spend a lot of time on that and also on this matchup with Miami. I did hear Victor already said something immediately after the game that the Pacers owe the Heat for that win Miami had in Indianapolis. So it was good after last night's win to think that they're already looking ahead and, you know, have a little bit extra incentive for that game.
All right, JJ, we got to run with the high school games coming up. I know you'll have coverage over there on Fox Sports Indiana. It's here as well. 1070 The Fan, 107.5 FM. We appreciate your time this morning.
A great basketball weekend, Pat. I'll see you tonight.
All right, that's Jeremiah Johnson. Pacers and Heat, Sunday, March 25th, 5 o'clock. For David Deering, I'm Pat Boylan. We'll talk to you next Saturday morning on Pacers Weekly.